there. Welcome to Stripped, the Voice Podcast Network's fashion podcast. Woo! I'm Emma Francois. Isabel Lord, would you like to give us our mission statement?
Oh, you know it. So Stripped is a snarky, sophisticated, and serious look at the political, social, and cultural influences that seep from the fashion world and stir up American culture. Emma, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today, for our very first episode, we thought we'd talk about Hillary Clinton, her style evolution through the years, the pantsuit, naturally, and just kind of the state of power dressing as we see today. So we spent a good, 20 minutes talking about how much we love her 1969 outfit.
So much.
In college with the pinstripe pants. Anyway, so she clearly loves fashion. But also, it's not like she started running for president and then started wearing the pantsuit, right? Like, it's definitely been an evolution.
Let's talk about a very smooth transition.
Let's talk about her style as first lady. Because it kind of, set her up for what she wears today.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of follows, the rule of first lady dressing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if you consider her predecessors, a lot of the first ladies before her never really had a life in the workplace, which Clinton pretty definitely had. And you can't really differentiate between, the first lady styles and how they dress. And I think, you know, obviously with Michelle Obama, she definitely has a style. That's something that we're, beginning to not appreciate, but recognize. And, they are able to have this liberty now. And I think Clinton, would you say that she followed in her predecessor's footsteps? Or do you think she started kind of changing first lady style?
So, if we look at, in the 90s, kind of like her earlier pantsuits, they're very pastel, they're very feminine, they have gold accents, and she has the pearls going. So I don't know. I know also she works with, and we're going to talk about kind of her relationship with designers and the role that designers play in American power dressing too. But I think that it's really interesting. And I don't know if this is a reflection of her style or of how she's using clothing as, a power tool or power move. To see, how she goes from, pastels and, the feminine accents to, these bold colors. Because mm-hmm. it's only recently that we see, the bright reds, bright yellows, mm-hmm. Full-on greens, reds. And then the feminine details are a little more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if she has, a distinct... She definitely has a style, though.
Yeah, I think definitely today and throughout the campaign, she's really emphasized her style. But also, I do feel like she's not been trying to make it the forefront of her... Obviously not the forefront of her campaign. But it's something that a lot of fashion writers have picked up on. She's been wearing a lot of Ralph Lauren. And that's kind of an interesting statement, especially if you consider, it's an American brand, an American company, and if she does win the election, it will be interesting to see if she continues down that road of boosting American companies, or maybe she'll, even go so far, as you were saying, to, support young talents and stuff like that.
Right. Also, the interesting thing with Ralph Lauren is, he's very much, his aesthetics of the American, but he's also, a college dropout, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I think that, I hope moving forward that she does a better job of supporting, Made in America designs, young talents, and also, minority designers, because they don't get as much attention
mm-hmm.
In the fashion world as they should. And I think she'll have a lot of power to make a difference in that sense. But I think it's so interesting. We see, Kate Middleton, when she'll go to Canada, she'll wear Canadian designers.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Michelle Obama, right. wears British designers in England. So I think there's a lot of, interesting things that she can do with that. I don't know. What do you think about her relationship with Ralph Lauren? Because on the one hand, it's nice that she's supporting, an American
designer.
But on the other hand, I feel like it's odd for a politician to pick favorites in that sense.
Yeah, it's interesting that she's really only stayed with one person, where I feel like I would honestly appreciate it more if she kind of, you know, did a little bit with a different designer every time. There was a period when she went through, like, an Oscar de la Renta phase when she was, I think, when she was first lady. He made a lot of her gowns for the CFDA Fashion Awards. He made that gown in 2002. So, yeah, I don't really know how I feel about Ralph Lauren. As long as I just hope she kind of becomes, I hope she's open to other designers. But it's interesting that her style has become very sleek and very structured. And if you view that kind of, you know, if she's trying to make a point through that, you know, if you could argue that a candidate dress, the way a candidate dresses is representative of how they want to portray themselves, how they want their policies potentially to portray themselves, it's interesting if you start to view her her clothing kind of as an embodiment of her, where maybe she wants to be considered to be very sleek and very structured in the way she presents herself or in the way she is.
Yeah, also in the past few weeks especially, she's really been wearing monochromes and, like, navies, but, like, whites, blacks. It's very kind of, I feel like it's, like, appeal to masses and, you know, like, nothing is, like, overtly offensive about the way that I'm dressing. I'm trying to, like, embrace my femininity but also be powerful. So I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And there was an article they interviewed one of the staffers at Ralph Lauren and asked, like, kind of what her purpose was. And they wouldn't comment on that because they thought that that should be something personal between her and the designer.
Uh-huh.
Not to, like, bash on Ralph Lauren, but also, like, he did the Olympics, like,
uniforms.
The American uniforms. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I feel like he already gets a ton of...
Yeah, attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Continue on that point of femininity, though. Do you want to talk about that Slate article?
Let's talk about this Slate article.
You take it away.
Well, so the beginning was difficult. Like, when we were reading it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what...
So this, first, this Slate article is entitled, Hillary Clinton Isn't a Lesbian, But She Dresses Like One. And we had some problems with that title.
To say the least.
The main issue being that they're essentially tying sexuality to clothing, which kind of infuriates me.
Yeah. Also, it's like, the pantsuit is such a difficult thing anyway. Like, I view it as kind of a compromise by female politicians, because we're at this point right now where they want to be seen as equals with their male counterparts. So the suit is a tool to be like, look, I can be just like them. It also is kind of like, don't talk about my clothing,
right?
Like, we're just the same. Like, you don't talk about their clothing, so talk about my clothing, which we talked about also. We wish that, like, there's a place to talk about clothing and politics, and we wish that we talked about male clothing more.
Yeah.
And just clothing in general, because I think lots of kind of, like, groups aren't represented, and we can see that through, like, the homogenous nature of their clothing. And this idea that, like, clothing is never about how others
perceive
you.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the article talked about how she's not dressing for, like, the male gaze, and she's, like, covering herself up, and that should never be what clothing is about.
Right.
No matter, like, what gender or, role you play.
Right. I honestly feel like clothing should just be another medium of expression. You can, like, maybe you could just read deeper into clothing, but honestly, when it comes to the pantsuit, like, or any clothing in general, you shouldn't tie it to, you can't make this generalization on someone's sexuality and the way they tend to dress. Like, everyone should be able to dress the way that they feel individually that they should be able to dress, you know? Like,
just, we should never be tying a gender to clothing.
No, or a sexuality. or sexual preferences or something like that.
Yeah. The weird thing is that by the end of the article, like, I think we both, like, what was it?
Yeah, in praise of, well, like, the subtitle was in praise of Hillary Clinton's male gaze-defying style, which is also interesting that they equate that to being a lesbian, because I also, I mean, don't think that that's really what it's about.
Right. It's interesting. It's like there's a good way to read fashion, especially fashion and politics, and then there's like a bad way to read fashion and politics, and this is the bad. I mean, it's like incorrect, I guess, is like where we draw the difference.
Yeah. And also, like, even if she were wearing dresses, if she had, like, if she hadn't locked onto this pantsuit, there's always going to be a discussion about what she's wearing and what it means, and probably a read into, like, the sexuality of it. Like, that New York Times article, or Washington Post article on the cleavage.
Yeah, Washington Post. Robin Javon.
Yeah, the Washington Post article where she had, like, a little bit of cleavage showing once, and like the whole 90s. World in like the 90s and the whole world like exploded. But yeah, I honestly feel like, you know, a large part of it has to do with the fact that being female, fashion has become like so tied into our gender. And there's no way to talk to, it's very hard for the media to not address what a candidate is wearing and like what that means about them. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying earlier, like I really feel like we should pay equal attention to what a male candidate is wearing. Like, I have no idea. Like, why don't we know where Donald Trump's suit is made or who makes his suit?
And why aren't male politicians allowed to experiment with clothing the same way, like, Hillary Clinton can have, you know, a different mm-hmm. color, like a color-blocked collar
right.
with, like, a navy suit? You know, like, there should be the same
right.
license. Like, men should be allowed to enjoy fashion, too, especially in, like, a business and, like, serious environment.
Yeah, like, could you imagine if, like, a male presidential candidate, like, walked on the stage in, like, a poppy red suit?
Yeah.
Like, what? I can't even imagine that happening. It's but like, why can't I?
When James Corden hosted the Tonys this past year, and his suits were, like, embroidered and bedazzled.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It was
this
so cool.
Male power dressing at mm-hmm. its absolute best.
But what's also interesting is if there isn't, like, a lot of jewelry on display. Right. Like, you mentioned, like, how his suit was, like, bedazzled, kind of, like, if a presidential candidate, male or female, like, they never really show any sort of sparkle, really any sign of wealth, which is really interesting because we also expect them to look very sharp and very put together and very clean and clean cut, and that's not something that is easily produced or easily achieved without a certain degree of money to fund it.
I think that's part of the reason why Clinton is grasping on to these, like, bright colors mm-hmm. and, like, one, like, monochrome suits. Because it's, like, if you can't play around with cut, because mm-hmm. if you show, like, a millimeter of cleavage, like, the or world will, skin, yeah. like, break out into scandal. And you can't experiment with jewelry because that's too feminine. You can't have, like, embroidered mm-hmm. accents because that's, like, too fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, too detailed and, you know, like, irresponsible fashion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it makes sense that you'd gravitate toward, like, bright reds.
Colors.
Because that's just a bunch of dye on a multi-$1,000 suit, which is so much better than wearing a necklace.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh. What else? Do you have anything else that you think we should add?
One thing we talked about is, because now if she wears anything other than pants,
mm-hmm.
it'll be,
like, whoa,
front page news.
Yes.
And, like, it actually, like, will probably be front page news.
Yes.
Even though, because I think the media has done a really good job, during this election season of, like, there's a place for talking about Clinton's mm-hmm. fashion that's, like, in, like, maybe features or Vogue articles or, like, the style sections
right.
of papers. I think we've done a good job of keeping those separate.
Mm-hmm.
But I use it something like, if she keeps on wearing the suit, it'll be truer to her style because mm-hmm. she has had, like, an evolution. So, I don't know, like, moving forward, what do you think we'll see from her? What do you think she should wear?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Also because, you know, she will be getting older, and it's interesting to see how age, if at all, age will affect how she dresses. I don't think age should really ever have an effect on how someone dresses. But yeah, it'll be really interesting to see where she goes from here. If she becomes Madam President, I think she's going to stick with the pantsuit. But also, I don't think she's excluded herself from, like, gowns and stuff, but I can't really picture her in anything that Michelle Obama is wearing right now. I think she's really setting the standard or kind of laying the groundwork for future female presidents if she becomes president, where I think she is creating an expectation for you to dress in a more stereotypically masculine way in terms of the suits, although suits shouldn't just be considered masculine. I think she spent a majority of her life trying to level the playing field and kind of remove any gender barriers that she's and that many women have faced or confronted. And I think she's going to continue to try to do that with her clothing.
Yeah, like, as much as I would love for the little girls of tomorrow to get to see the president wearing, you know, like, the purple mm-hmm. sparkly gown that she wore. Mm-hmm. Was that Clinton's inauguration?
Her husband?
Yeah. Like, as much as I would love for little girls to get to see her wearing, you know, like, ruffles and bows, like, the things that they want to wear, and then they can see themselves more clearly in her and, like,
see or just that experimenting, they, really.
Right, and see that they don't have to change how they dress for a job. Because I do think, like, for little girls, like, seeing a pantsuit, like, that's so foreign. Like, even mm-hmm. if your mom, like, goes to work in, like, a blazer, like, you know that that's, like, not what she wears on the weekends. And it's mm-hmm. this very interesting divide of, like, working and not working. It's, like, professionalism and, you know, and, mm-hmm. like, the home. So as much as I would love for little girls to get to see a really powerful female figure wearing items of clothing that they would reasonably have mm-hmm. in their closet before they're, like, 35, mm-hmm. I do think that she's really, like, owned this and made it her style. Mm-hmm. I do think that it reflects who she is well. And that whether she chooses to only show up in pantsuits or not, I think it'll just be a reflection of, like, where she is and, like, what she's trying to accomplish.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's it for our first episode of Stripped.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter at G-Town Voice and at Halftime GU. You can find us on GeorgetownVoice.com and on iTunes. Make sure to subscribe to the Voice Podcast Network. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.